Hey everyone, it's David and Dylan here from WeShunTheSun.com with the seventh episode of our world famous gaming podcast.
That's right, now it is world famous because there is people around the world that listen to it.
There blatantly is. I mean, we don't have any metrics on this, but...
Oh, we've got metrics.
Oh, do we?
No.
Okay, good.
That's right. Now, it's been, 14 days since our last podcast?
Yeah, it's been a while.
We'll try and cover the major news of the last week or so because we don't want to tread the old dirt.
Yeah, we're sorry for leaving you hanging there, by the way.
Ah, you'll get over it. All right, and we'll start off with what's really sweeping the nation right now. Goat Simulator.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Well,
I shouldn't say what do you think. What are you going to think after you've bought it?
Well, I think I'll enjoy it. I mean, I've seen a tiny bit of criticism amongst all the, you know, praise and laughing. You know, some people saying, oh, you know, they're just making a buggy game and they're getting away with it. But the way I see it, it's fun. It's funny. I mean, that's one thing. But secondly, they're the first to do it. Like, these ideas are always funny when you're the first people to do it. So
that's right.
The way I see it, they've marketed it intelligently. And it just looks like a laugh, so...
Exactly. You can't watch that trailer and not have a giggle.
Yeah, I mean, they were so clever about that. They could have just shown, like, footage of them doing silly stuff, but instead the whole parody of the Dead Island trailer and
exactly.
It was just perfectly done.
Exactly. I mean, now you've got, obviously, you've got a Kickstarter for Bear Simulator.
Oh, is there really?
There is. I don't think it's gone very far. I mean, soon you're going
to
have a...
Exactly what I said. If you're the first people to do it...
Exactly.
It's going to go well, but...
the clones and everything.
Yeah, and, you know, we see it all the time, Flappy Bird...
That's right. We'll see where it all goes.
Yep.
Our next piece of news. A Predator COD DLC has been rumoured as they've shown off a trailer which goes for a few seconds. I think it was a Vine, which one of the producers posted.
Oh.
And at the end it showed a guy running across and just the invisible flash in front of him, and at their bottom it said, "If it bleeds." Obviously the tagline of "If it bleeds, we can kill it."
Well, that's getting pretty strong.
So it's a pretty heavy rumour, really. I mean...
Yeah.
Is... the COD gameplay so lacking nowadays that you have to introduce Michael Myers, Predator, to keep it fresh? Or what do you think?
Yeah, hey, look, maybe. I feel like maybe they do need to introduce something new. Whether they can do it well, that's always going to be the question. But we've seen COD experimenting for a while now, as you said.
What I want to know is how that would be balanced in the slightest.
Well, it probably shouldn't be. But, I mean, as you said, Michael Myers, they've already done. They've well and truly introduced these zombie modes.
Yeah,
so
exactly
they've already
right.
stepped away from just... straight-up shooting.
You gotta think these movie... I mean, in saying this, the movie franchise licenses can't be cheap, but with the amount of money COD makes...
Well, that's exactly it. It's probably just barely even a denting
not
there.
Not even denting the pocket change.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we'll see if it gets confirmed.
I mean, I just think... I assume, of course, that would be just purely some sort of multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
If they built a really fully-fledged multiplayer, you know, section around that, it could get some fans, but...
Oh, they wouldn't.
No, probably won't.
It'd be tacked on like the Michael Myers one. Yeah, it'd be one map where, you know, someone randomly spawns as a Predator.
Did they have to pay for the Michael Myers thing, do you think?
I would almost guarantee it.
Oh, really? Was it literally the same mask?
Oh, it was called the Michael Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Played the Halloween theme.
Oh, there you go.
But no, they didn't pay.
They never found out.
Cards are not big enough to get noticed. And moving on again, Infamous Second Son was released in the last 2 weeks.
And you are the owner of Infamous Second Son.
I am. Now, you've seen it today. It was touted as, you know, looking so brilliant on the PS4 and everything. What would you say about it? Like, we did mention earlier between us, it is very hard to make an open world game look brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, it's always easier to make something that's like a corridor shooter look incredible. Look, it's a good looking game. It's a good looking game, but, you know, open world games will always have their limitations in terms of what you can do. I think, for me, it's just that it felt, well, from what I saw anyway, the brief bits that I saw, it still very much adheres to the formula of, you know, you've got your little side objectives here, you've got your story missions, there aren't that many of them, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it does that much different to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was mentioning, I've only played an hour of it so far, or I should say maybe an hour of the main story, which is probably about 3 of the quests, and just fiddled around, destroyed some cameras and stuff like that. Yeah, my save tells me I'm 18% of the way through.
Yeah.
Now that's
kind of worrying,
isn't it?
A
little bit concerning.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly since open world games traditionally have a whole stack of extra content.
I haven't played any of the Infamouses before. I picked it up because, you know, I want something to play on my PS4.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems fine so far. I won't say the controls are brilliant or anything like that. But, you know, for what it's meant to do, I guess it's doing its job and it does look good.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, two comments I would make. is one that the destructibility does look cool.
Yes, that's very good.
That was a really, very really good thing they added in, because of course you don't feel much like a superhero if you're not doing that much to the world.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, I can just, like, there's four people up in tower shooting me, I just destroy the tower.
Exactly. Stuff like that is really, really cool. And but the only other thing is, I just don't know about this whole karma thing. I just feel like it's really heavy-handed. It's like, oh, if you're not helping the old lady across the road, then you're killing her. You know, it's just...
Well, I can definitely say one of the first choices, you basically... I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but you get told, okay, you can either turn yourself in, or they're going to torture everyone. No matter what you say, the exact same thing happens. And that really bugged me. I'm like, all right, well, I want to be evil in every game I play. So I was like, you know, stuff them. Let them get tortured.
Yeah.
Yet then I saw someone playing the good way, where you turn yourself in, and they still tortured them. Tell me why.
Yeah, so another... Basically... When you're given decisions to make in games, make the decisions matter.
Make them actually do something.
So if there's a developer listening, I know it takes extra effort, but do it, because otherwise it just feels pointless. Because
straight away, I just don't care anymore. I'm like, who gives a shit? I mean, fair enough, the ending might be different, but you're telling me throughout the whole game I can be the evilest prick in the world, and, you know, the same sort of shit's going to happen on both sides. Mm-hmm. But, anyway, moving on. And did we mention Dark Souls 2 in the last one? It's been 2 weeks since the game came out.
We did, but a lot more has happened. I mean, last time it was just literally a couple of days in, and we commented on the fact we loved the online and stuff like that.
Yep.
But you've now beaten.
Yeah, I've beaten it and started the second run through now. It took me 48 hours. I shouldn't say took me, because I did spend probably about 8 to 10 of them hours doing co-op and multiplayer and things like that. Sure. But that's honestly, to me, a part of the game. So I would say the whole game is 48 hours.
And you could spend a whole lot more time than that with the Covenants and what we did. I mean, really, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
I didn't finish everything. That's right. That's 48 hours. If you wanted to go from start to stop, see everything, do everything, beat all the bosses, I'd honestly say about 60.
60 is what I saw, what I've seen, and I would say that's about right.
Yep.
And then, of course, there's New Game Plus, as you're now discovering, has more enemies.
New Game Plus is really kicking ass, but the thing is, they are adding in the new enemies, the new challenge, so it isn't like you are actually playing... Well, it's the same game, but because it's different, enemy placements are a little bit different, there's extras in there.
I've seen extra attacks on some of the enemies. They drop new items. Yeah, put it this way, it keeps things a lot more fresh than Dark Souls 1 New Game Plus did.
It is literally just, they're a bit harder, a bit stronger.
It makes total sense that they concentrated more on it, because a lot of people ended up playing New Game Plus and New Game Plus
25.
Too. Well, some people did, heaps, so, you know, they put a lot of attention into it.
Yeah, I think we don't want to spend too much time on it, but we can definitely say, if you're considering a hardcore sort of action RPG in a way, definitely give it a shot. But be prepared to die.
Definitely.
As the title says, prepare to die.
Yeah.
All right, next bit of news. Facebook has acquired the Oculus Rift. Now, I know this has been beaten to death, and honestly, they have taken a huge hit with all the PR and everything like that. Like, to me, like, from what they announced straight away, I mean, what they say and what happens is always different, but they did say they're going to, like, you know, it's still theirs. We funded it, we own it, but they're doing what they want.
I keep feeling like there's mixed messaging coming out, though, because I remember some other thing saying, like, oh, you know, it's great because we'll be able to use it for more everyday applications. I don't know. Did that come from the company? I feel like it did. I don't know.
I haven't read it. I don't know either. Again, because I was just seeing, you know, you got everyone come out and saying, oh, I'm not touching it now. How do I get a refund and all that sort of stuff?
Well, the problem is, because the way they pitched it initially in the Kickstarter, it's very much like, you know, we're the indie developers.
Yeah.
You know, then, of course, they got John Carmack from ID on board. What he represents is hardcore gaming, basically. Yeah. He's been in gaming. He's, you know, the very top of gaming tech for so many years, and then to suddenly, you know, be bought out by Facebook, who really represent, well, social, casual, you know.
Exactly.
It's just, it was never going to sit well with people, and it hasn't.
A lot of people think, they've just sold out.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to not have that thought cross your mind.
Okay, hang on, do I continue doing what I'm doing, or do I continue doing what I'm doing with $2 billion?
Oh, and look, I mean, I'm not saying that
I
wouldn't have done the same thing necessarily in their position, because, God, that's a lot of money. Was it $2
billion? $2 billion.
Jeez, that's crazy.
No, I think it was something like, was it 400 million in money and 1.6 in Facebook shares?
Well, geez, even then.
Yeah.
I don't think Facebook's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah,
that's
exactly right.
It's a safe company to have shares in.
That's exactly right. It'll
be interesting to see where it goes, whether they continue with games or... Because I just feel like there's such a conflict as well. Because
as you obviously saw, not to cut you off, but Notch has now taken away.
He's saying there will not be
Minecraft on it anymore.
Yeah, he's not big on Facebook.
No, he said it scares him, his words. And there was a pretty funny sort of Twitter battle going on between him and Cliff Bleszinski the other day.
Really?
It was a friendly, banterish one.
Right.
But, like, you know, he was telling him basically stop being a baby and stuff like that about it and all that sort of stuff. But he's basically just said, you know, it could possibly happen, but right now he's got no intentions of letting it come to it.
Fair enough. I reckon that's fair enough.
It's his choice.
Exactly.
And, you know, I guess he doesn't want... he's happy to have his game on, you know, gaming platforms, but again, he's one of them people who's seeing it. Okay, well, this is now your social everyday device rather than your
gaming. It's different to what was promised in the first place. So he's saying it's different to what I signed up for.
Yeah.
But how many people do you have to strap to your face
honestly,
for everyday applications?
What I was thinking is how many people are actually going to use the device, even in hardcore gamers.
Well, exactly.
It's going to be expensive, and it's so niche. Is it one of them things where, okay, well,
I can't see this becoming mass market.
This is cool, but all right. Four months later.
Yeah, well, and even then, it's like, this is cool, but oh wait, there's two games for it. Or you know what I mean? Like,
there's two great games, and the other one, I'm just watching myself travel around.
Well, this is exactly it. I was never sure if it was going to catch on with hardcore gamers, and I'm even less certain whether it would ever catch on with casuals.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't care if I'm proven wrong at all.
I would love to be proven wrong, because virtual reality's got so much potential, but very, very, very dubious right now.
Yeah, exactly right. Another bit of we should mention the Sony Morpheus.
Yeah, of course.
Their VR machine. Like, a lot of people are saying, oh, Sony are rubbing their hands together now. But really, are they?
Well, I don't know. Honestly, it can't hurt them because there's all this negative.
It can't hurt, but I don't honestly think it's really bolstered their position in the market.
Not in the long run, anyway. I think it might be a short-term thing that they're happy about, but really, no one knows anything about the Morpheus
That's
yet.
That's exactly right.
They've talked a little bit about it, but until we see anything using it, I would still be... I mean, will it just be like, what was it called? The iCam or whatever? The PlayStation camera?
PlayStation iToy?
I mean, yeah, the various things that they always bring out each generation that never really go anywhere.
Yeah.
I can understand. They always want to try and push, you know, their research and development teams want to come up with new stuff, but it's whether it just ends up being a fad that goes nowhere.
I was reading that the PS4 camera is severely understocked everywhere and they've got no supplies around America because everyone wants to use it for their Twitch.
Oh, right.
I was in a shop the other day. It was just 20 sitting there.
There you go.
So if you want them in America, you can give me a call and I'll sell them to you at a high price.
At a high price. What are you buying? Or you can just catch a flight down to Australia.
It might be cheaper. All right. Next, the first round of Game Boy Advance Virtual Console games have come to the Wii U. The bunch of Advance Wars, Mario and Luigi, pretty much the good games Game Boy Advance are coming across, so it is sort of saying, stop wasting your time on the old catalogue and give them something new.
Yeah, while those games are really cool, I feel like most people who really wanted to play them have probably had enough time to do that on there.
I can find myself a Game Boy Advance and them games for cheaper than a Wii U.
Or you could be like...
play them more comfortably.
Let's be honest, you could play it on an emulator on your PC or on your DS.
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of ways. But, you know, I assume you're going to have to pay for them on the Wii U store.
Of course
you are. I don't know what price they're going for. I mean, they're all really great games, by the way. At least those ones we just named were. But I just don't know. I mean, it's not going to make people go out and buy a Wii U.
If I had a Wii U, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, okay, now I don't need another great game for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I don't need a great game.
And it just it just baffles me that, they could be doing 64 ones. They could be doing...
I don't know what they've done again, because...
GameCube. I feel like on their eShop, they haven't got much of any of that, if anything at all.
Yeah, they don't have much of anything.
And I just feel like Nintendo, of all the companies, even more than Sony and Microsoft, have such an awesome back catalogue. They could be leveraging that, and it just doesn't seem like they're really doing it now.
Honestly, as much as I've got a PS4, I've got an Xbox One, I think, more interested to see what Nintendo are doing at this E3.
Mm-hmm, true.
Because they're going to have to bring some absolute balls.
Yeah, whereas I'm expecting, it's probably going to be fairly conservative from both Sony and Xbox.
Okay, here's Halo, which is out this year. We're going to show you more of Destiny on our platform. Here are some more exclusives you didn't know about, some quick cuts. That's what it's going to be both sides, pretty much.
Well, we hope there's going to be exclusives we don't know about.
Apparently we've heard... apparently it was confirmed. I don't know if it was... I would say still rumour, but PS4 is getting Last of Us.
Yeah. But just literally a remake,
It's just a port, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sony fanboys love it.
Yeah, they will. I mean, it's just... we just want to see the new stuff. But Nintendo are the ones who really need to start fighting, and if they don't...
And don't give me any more crap like Hyrule Warriors. No one plays Dynasty Warriors. What do they think they're really hot?
Yeah, that's
Hyrule Warriors. All right, let's just cash in skin.
And speaking of cashing in on Zelda skins...
That's the next topic, Zelda DLC for Sonic. Now, think about it this way. Let's put Zelda into a game no one's playing and no one cares about.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, one thing I will respect them about, it's free.
Yeah. That's
good on them for doing that. That's nice.
It's good that it's free, but in a way, is it free? Because think of it this way, how many people got that game?
True. And, I mean, is it going to make anyone buy the game? I doubt it, because I watched some footage, and, I mean, it's still Sonic.
It's still Sonic, just it's basically the hat and stuff.
Reskinned. Yeah. And, well, that's what it is. And it's weird. When I was watching the video, one thing I've never understood, just to go on a tangent here for a second. Okay, so Sonic. What does Sonic represent to you? Apart from the fact that it just hasn't been good in a while. What should Sonic represent?
Hedgehog, fast running.
Yep. Well, the second part especially, speed. It's meant to be all about being fast.
Yeah.
One thing they've never, ever managed to do, as far as I can tell, in any of the 3D Sonic games, is figure out how to make combat fast. What happens, and I saw this in the Zelda video.
Think of it this way. What was the combat? It was just rolling through him back when the game was good.
That's the thing. You can't do that anymore, I think. Like, every time I see it, every time there's an enemy, you have to jump and you use this slow lock-on attack to jump on their heads. And it slows you down completely. You stop dead, basically. Then you have to keep running separately.
Well, the game should simply be about this. If you're not fast enough, you take damage.
Honestly, the enemies should be almost secondary in that game.
Exactly. It's more about the design. It should just be about
movement and speed and awesome levels.
It's almost like Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, it should make it
running constantly with good design.
Yeah, levels twisting all over the place and stuff. You know, that should be what it's much more about. And, you know, enemies, they just have not been able to figure out. Anyway, that's total tangent.
Yeah, that's fine. And one of the next things on the list was the announcement of NVIDIA announcing that they have a $3,000 graphics card coming out.
Nice.
So think of it this way. You can pay $3,000 for it now, or you can wait 6 months and pick it up for $200.
Yeah, probably.
The way the technology goes, I just don't see. I mean, it's 12 gig of DDR5, whereas the consoles right now, I think, is 8.
Yeah. That's
DDR5.
Well, it's obviously going to be a beast. I mean,
oh, yeah, it's a beast of a thing, but really, I mean,
very much not really for gaming, isn't it? It's more general use. Well, I think it'll be more like, you know, companies using CGI.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess. I mean, it's
not. I just don't see how. I mean,
the fact they're kind of making a public announcement of it, it's probably a bit unnecessary because most people are not really going to be able to pay for it.
That's right. Well,
it'll be interesting to see how much better it actually is than other graphics cards too, because
I'm still rocking my 3-year-old graphics card, and I can still run everything on high, very high.
Exactly.
I mean, fair enough, I'm not running at 60 frames per second high or anything like that, but it's not to the point where I can even, you know, notice juddering and things like that, because how much more forward can it go right now?
That's right. And I mean, I do respect how much graphics cards have come down in price.
Oh yeah.
Like 5 years ago around.
Oh yeah.
They used to be so much more expensive.
It was sort of like you had to pay $800 for one.
Yeah,
whereas
it was.
Now it is, all right, well, the $800 one's out now, or I can get the one which give me 6 frames less on the high setting for $250.
That's the thing. Like, back then, $800 was your mid-range.
Yeah.
Now, $300 or so is about your mid-range. Like, that's a massive improvement.
Yeah, that's a high mid-range.
That's right. Yeah, that's a very good mid-range. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Assassin's Creed Unity. Some screenshots leaked out. Did you hear about that?
No.
It's got nothing to do with Unity, the development program.
Oh, right.
A screen leaked for a next-gen Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rumored to be called Unity. And I believe they confirmed it now, saying Assassin's Creed Unity, set in, I think, 18th century France?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that people didn't really expect that. I mean, I saw some people, you know, predicting various eras. But then the development team came out saying that it was a... They were setting it in you know, a time and a place that was really close to their hearts. And I'm like, well...
They're from...
Yeah, they're French. Yeah, exactly. So that was my first thought. And then I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't a big surprise.
And the current gen code... Well, these are both code names, obviously.
Yeah.
And the current gen apparently codenamed Comet.
Comet. So that's the code name for what? Sorry?
The current gen Assassin's Creed. The next Assassin's right. Creed. Who knows about them? I don't care about Assassin's Creed in the slightest. Dave enjoyed 4. I didn't play 4, so I can't say it, but...
4 was definitely an improvement.
I played... My problem was I played 1 briefly, didn't like it. Played 2, liked it.
Mm-hmm. Played 1 was
Brotherhood
much,
and realised, okay, this is just 2 again.
Yeah, exactly.
Got the... What was the one after Brotherhood?
3?
No, there was 2 with Ezio.
2 and Brotherhood both had Ezio.
Yeah, but there's another one.
Oh, jeez, I can't even remember.
Sure there's another one.
It could be. Oh, I think... Oh, Revelations.
That's the one.
Yeah. That was there somewhere as well.
Yeah,
it's so hard to keep track.
I think by then he was like 70, yet he still looked 25.
And this is part of the problem. Like, Assassin's Creed, just when they become yearly franchises, you can really get sick of them.
3, well, I never played 3, also, but everyone said it was terrible.
Also, the storyline. Man, some companies just don't really seem to get it right. They just try and be, I don't know, too fancy. They overwrite things.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they've stepped away from, what's his name, that bartender.
Desmond,
that's the one.
I've only played the games. Desmond Miles, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was such a drag, those sections. So,
Next bit of information. I found this very strange, but Obsidian Entertainment, Fallout New Vegas creators, and Stick of Truth creators, the new tank MMO, Armored Warfare, competing directly with World of Tanks.
Very weird, and especially since World of Tanks
they've
has
got
had
the market totally
loads
boring.
Of time to get well and truly ingrained.
I guess maybe they're just trying to get the Western audience a bit more.
Well, World of Tanks for a while now.
I liked World of Tanks. It was fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'll try it. If it's free, I'll try it for sure.
True. Yeah, we'll try
Again,
it.
Again, whatever's free, if it's good, well, it looks good, I'll try it.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent some money on World of Tanks because the game, honestly, is good. It's fun.
Yeah, but it takes a lot, I reckon, for anyone who's invested a lot of time already in the other one.
Oh, to move across.
To actually move across.
Oh, yeah,
now,
you're getting them loyalists and fanboys.
You're in big trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that World of Tanks is huge overseas.
Well, it is massive, and especially in Russia, I think.
Oh, yeah, Russians love
it. That's such a massive market.
Yeah.
Especially for games of this nature. The Russians love those, you know, the military tanks. They're really, really all over that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's done well, though. The game is...
That's right.
It doesn't need to be the most brilliant graphics. For what it does it right.
Yeah, and I mean, they've concentrated on the physics. I mean, unless they come up with a more approachable...
Yeah, Armored Warfare is its name again, and you can now sign up for beta invites, so definitely check it out. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good.
Well, hopefully.
I mean, Obsidian, they make good games.
True. But it's so far outside their field of expertise, but it'll be interesting to see.
One of our final points, the Alien Isolation game is being given a release date of October 7th in America. Nothing else international yet, but you can just assume it's going to be around that date.
And you'll be looking forward to this, no doubt.
I definitely love the Alien franchise. Well, I should say Alien and Aliens. The rest of them can go to hell. But yeah, I mean, them scary games already scare the absolute crap out of me. So now taking into something I enjoy might make me play it for more than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But it looks very good. It's being talked up a lot, but I mean, so was Colonial Marines for a while.
Colonial Marines was scary for different reasons.
Yeah, but I mean, this has the potential to be sort of like playing in the first Alien.
Totally. And this is Creative Assembly making it, isn't it?
Yes.
And they are the Total War guys. Yeah, I found that really interesting.
Departure. I mean, I guess they just said, well, hang on, these scary games right now are popular.
I reckon it was maybe even something else. Could have been. They've been doing Total War for so long.
Have they done anything else besides Total War?
Not that I can remember. Oh, I feel like they've maybe tried that one RTS on consoles. I can't remember the name of it, but it didn't go very well.
Mm.
But basically, well, RTSs. They've never really stepped outside of that field that I can remember.
If this was Game Dev Story, they'd be getting laid into for never trying something different.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if their game was absolutely flawless, they'd probably still get 2 out of 10 reviews.
Yeah. And I mean, look at the reception it's been getting, though, from everyone who's seen and played the game. Apparently, it is really, really impressive.
And really crap your pants.
Yeah, nailing the atmosphere. And that's what it's all about.
That's exactly right. All right, now we can move on to the chatter, and I have a good one on here. Yeah. As we've been discussing... over and over, Dave's infatuation with the Vita.
Oh, dear.
He now has one.
Yep, it's happened.
It's happened.
I don't know why it's happened.
And tell me, Dave. what are your thoughts?
Where do you start? Okay, we'll start with the good.
So let's move straight on to the bad.
The good is the screen. The screen is really, really impressive.
We should announce that in Australia, the second version is coming out shortly with the worst screen.
Yeah, right.
The LCD screen, not the OLED screen.
Yeah, I bought mine off eBay, by the way. So I got it very cheap. I got it with a cheap memory card.
Well, we should say it is a Sony memory card, but it was cheap because it was on eBay.
Exactly, exactly.
You can't get cheap memory.
No, you can't. 32 GB size. That's a really, really good size for the Vita. I'll be talking more about that in a second. But yeah, definitely the graphics are impressive. And the screen really is the big plus of the Vita. Yeah, it looks so impressive. It really, really does. I've seen some people say that when you come from playing a lot on the Vita back to the 3DS, it does hurt a little bit. I don't know. I haven't really spent that much time in the Vita.
With both of us, we both know...
We're not big graphics.
It's not about the graphics.
No, it's not. Someone who is totally graphics motivated...
will take a Vita over that.
Yeah, they probably will. Yeah.
Yeah. If they want the best graphics on a handheld, that wins without question.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and another positive, I should say, it has got 2 sticks as default.
Yep.
Let's give it credit for that. So it means, you know, I think Killzone is meant to be quite good on the Vita. I haven't played it.
Yeah, I've heard of things.
Yeah, so you'll have at least a decent control setup for games like that. So that's good as well.
Yep.
Any other big positives? Just the, you know, the general setup of the game, the way it integrates with trophies and your PlayStation Network and all that kind of thing.
Well, this isn't actually Vita exclusive. I will say one of the big positives of the Vita, and I know you'll agree, is PlayStation Plus.
I knew you were about to say it, and I totally agree with that. I'm going to be buying that, but, you know, the fact that you get free games every month, you get Uncharted and Gravity Rush to start with, at least in Australia, those are the games you get. And they're two really, really solid games, the Vita. It's just an awesome service. Yep. And you kind of have to do it. I do wonder sometimes whether it hurts Sony more than it helps them. Because I've seen a lot of gamers say that when new games come out, they don't pounce on them because they wait. They wait and see whether it's going to come free down the line. And quite often they do.
That's the thing with the new consoles, though. With the PS4, nothing's happened yet.
That's right.
I mean, just announced for April is Mercenary Kings, which is like a $8 game anyway.
Exactly.
But, so, I mean, fair enough. It's still free.
It's probably going to take a while to build up for the PS4, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean,
it's definitely a lot more worth it for PS3 owners, etc. now.
So moving on to the negatives. The moving stuff on people to
the
want
negatives.
To hear.
Yeah, the negatives. Let's see now. I'm definitely going to say the memory. I think that's one of the first things you have to start with.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of people say that's their reason for not buying a Vita, and I can totally get that. You know, when the console itself new, you could sometimes find it on sales for a bit less than $200.
Yep.
I mean, especially you'll often find it packaged with a game, so it starts to sound like a good price. But then you look at the memory.
Yep.
Memory for the Vita is pretty much mandatory. They've got a lot of online stuff, like the PlayStation Plus thing we're just mentioning. You'll have to download a lot of games. And you'll really need memory to use it. So how much does the memory cost? Well, for a tiny 8GB card, you're looking at about, I think, $25.
Yep.
For the one that I got, the 32GB, that retails for around $85. That is a lot of money. And if you compare that to SD cards or USBs, it really doesn't compare favorably at all.
You can get a 64GB USB 3 drive right now. Fair enough, not a great one, for about $30.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It's pretty exploitative of Sony to do that.
It's because it's a proprietary device.
Yeah, it's a proprietary device, so they can afford to charge what they want, but I just think it's probably hurting them a lot.
It is.
I think that would detract quite a lot of people. And I mean, they do stay very hush about it, so I kind of fear the amount of people who've bought the device not realizing how hampered they'll be until they buy a decent memory card. Another big negative, there's probably two other big negatives, I should say. One is still, obviously, lack of games.
Yep.
There is a distinct lack of games. It's a lot better for anyone who's looking to play classic PS1 games and stuff like that. There's a lot available online through their market. You will have to pay for them, obviously. I think there's sometimes discounts for PS Plus members. But yeah, people who've grown up with a PS1, I mean, I know I grew up with a Nintendo 64, and I sometimes really want to play those old games. So if I had a device, like if they did that on the 3DS, I would be buying some of those games for sure. So I know that some people who've grown up with those PS1 games would go back and really like the chance to relive them.
Yep.
Definitely the fact that there's a real lack of AAA games. So, and a lot of that will stem from the fact that the Vita has not sold spectacularly at all.
Well, one of their best-selling games, I remember hearing this on the PlayStation Beyond podcast, the IGN podcast, was one of their best-selling games was the Assassin's Creed.
Really?
And I believe that struggled to sell. They said it didn't make 200,000 sales around the world.
Mm-hmm. That's scary, isn't it?
Think about that. Around the world, 200,000.
And then that probably explains why they brought it out again on the
The 360 and PS3. That is the definition of your AAA on the Vita.
Totally, totally.
Because that it wasn't shoddily developed or anything like that. It was actually made properly. And a lot of people were saying they thought that game was a lot better than 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that too. And I mean, Tearaway, that was by Media Molecule, the Little Big Planet guys, and that sold disgustingly poorly. I can't remember, but it was somewhere around like 12,000 or something.
It's just because the install base is so small, and again, people will wait for PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, exactly. So on the PS Plus note for one second, I do understand as well that by having people download it through that service, one thing, you can't keep playing it when your PS Plus membership runs out.
Yep, so they know they're going to keep getting money from
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I do get that. And I also get the fact that by having people download it, it means that they are stopping secondhand sales.
Yes.
And that is important to them as well. So I do get there are other reasons. There are other incentives to Sony. But I still do wonder. I just wonder. Okay, so the other negative that I was going to mention is the rear touchpad. it just doesn't really work for me. It's not comfortable to hold the system. For me, I've got relatively large hands. It's difficult to avoid that rear touchpad. I've heard rumors that apparently it's smaller on the new model that they're bringing out.
I think so.
Yeah, I've heard that. But, I mean, I just don't understand how it got through testing the way that it is right now.
Well, it's not really racist, but Japanese have smaller hands.
Yeah, it might be true.
And the same with the 3DS. That's why them shoulder buttons in the first 3DS were so tiny.
They've got to be more savvy, though. Test it with a broader, you know, range of people. In my opinion, anyway. there are these like handles and different like things you can buy for the Vita relatively cheaply. But the fact that you feel the need to buy
Again, it's another thing you have to buy.
Well, almost. It's almost a necessity. Some people say they learn to hold it without, but to me, that's going to lead to hand cramps. So it's just something to be aware of. So, that's the Vita in a nutshell. I mean, they've got Persona 4. I'm looking forward to playing through that. There's a few games out there, but there's just not loads in the top tier, definitely.
There's games to play, but there's not great games
to play. Heaps of them anyway. There's only a few. So in terms of software library, the 3DS is just well and truly ahead. I mean, that's no secret.
All right. So we'll wrap it up there for another episode of the We Shun the Sun podcast. We're on Facebook. You can find us and Twitter and our website again. So please, obviously, follow us, tweet us, let us know what you want. Let us know what you don't want, more specifically.
Exactly. I mean, if you just want, and be brutal.
If you want an hour of just Ivan talking Vita... Just tell me, and we'll make it happen. I'll sit in the corner and just hold the microphone there without saying a word. We might do that anyway. All right, everyone. So hopefully we'll see you next week. But again, we'll see you soon.
Yep. Catch you guys.